Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Jonah. Turn to the book of Jonah. It's been a number of years since I preached from the book of Jonah. I'm going to be reading the second chapter of the book of Jonah. This is the greatest fish story ever told. It's a whale of a tale. And you're going to enjoy this, I think, this morning. Let's read some of this verse taken from the second. Well, let's begin in the first chapter, verse 17. That's where the paragraph actually begins. And I think it would be best for us to begin there. Now, in order to preach from a narrative story, and that's what this is, and it's quite difficult for me to preach from a narrative, about a historical story, but I pray that God will bless us this morning. But in order to do that, if we grab this portion of Scripture where Jonah is found in the belly of a fish, which I don't believe to be a parable, I believe it to be a true story. Amen. This has happened. There are finds, there are facts concerning this. You can Google it. Men have been swallowed whole by sharks and fish. And I'm convinced that Jonah was swallowed by a fish prepared by God. A fish that was specifically prepared for him and his rebellion. We learn a great deal from chapter 1 and also from chapter 3, the chapter before and the chapter after. We know why Jonah ends up in the belly of the whale. We know that he was rebelling and running from God. Listen, you can't run from God. You'll run out of room trying to run from God. Eventually, God will catch you. And if you persist in rebelling and running from God, I assure you that trouble will come into your life. God specifically told this man to arise and go to Nineveh and preach the message that he wanted preached to that people. Now, Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. He lived during the time of Jeroboam II. We read in 2 Kings chapter 14 about his ministry and his prophesying. And God called upon him to go to a Gentile city, the city of Nineveh. And the ruins of it are found up near Mosul. And to preach to them a message of repentance. A message of judgment. Now, Jonah knew that God was a compassionate, merciful God. This was an idolatrous city. This was the Assyrians. They were vicious. They were cruel. They murdered people. They beheaded people. And they were Israel's number one enemy. But God wanted to demonstrate His love and His mercy and deliver them and save them, and that He did. But he was running from this call to preach. I remember when I was a teenage preacher. I started preaching when I was a teenager. And my first year at Old Union Minister School, there was a man that taught on the book of Jonah. His name was H.C. Vanderpool. One of my favorite lessons ever taught at Old Union. That was in 1981, if you want to listen to that. He told us in that teaching that all of us can relate to Jonah. We may not have graduated from Whale University, but we've graduated from some kind of trouble university. I remember him talking about his running from his call to preach, and him ending up in a, I think it was behind an outhouse near Lebanon Hospital, when Altie was trying to give birth to Bobby Vanderpool. Now, I have helped my grandfather one time up on a hill, Pleasant Hill Church, up in Simpson County, Kentucky, dig for an outhouse. And the last place you want to be is behind one, because usually that stuff runs downhill. But he was down there calling upon God, got in the lowest place. And listen, God has a way of bringing us around. He's God. And he'll bring us to that place of surrender. If you read this story, the three chapters of Jonah, if you read the three stories, and there are three stories, you have the the mariners or the sailors, we know that Jonah, instead of going east, he went west. He went down to Joppa and he got on a ship and he paid his fare and he was heading towards Spain. And we know that as he was in the Mediterranean Sea, there was a great wind, a great trouble, a great calamity upon the sea. There was a hurricane, if you will. But these mariners or these sailors that were controlling the ship, they were aware that this wasn't a natural storm. This was a supernatural storm. And it's easy to discover that in reading the first chapter. These sailors knew that this storm was supernatural and somebody had offended God. And they called upon everybody to examine themselves. And as they began to throw over the luggage and they were trying to keep this boat afloat, and they found Jonah in the very belly of that boat, sound asleep. He was called upon to wake up. Well, if there's ever been a time where the church needs to wake up, it's today. We need to wake up. There's storms and crisis on every side. There's great calamities that are going on in the world. And there's great political upheavals that exist. The signs of the times are all about us. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to make sure that others are ready and for the coming of the Lord. There's an urgency in the gospel. But we know that Jesus taught the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of them wise and 5 of them foolish, 5 of them saved, 5 of them not saved, all of them religious, but all of them, all 10 of them, the saved and the unsaved, religious community or religious group of the day of the coming of the Lord, they were all fast asleep. And we need to wake up. The Lord's coming. The bridegroom is coming. And we need to be ready. Well, we know the story pretty much. I have great difficulty preaching about the narrative passages of Scripture. But Jonah, he began to recognize that this storm was a supernatural storm and that he was the cause of it. They cast lots. The lot fell upon Jonah. Jonah said, "You're going to have to throw me overboard in order to save your life." Well, they didn't want to do that. I mean, the last thing they wanted was to continue to anger God and have his blood upon their hands. But they had reached a breaking point and they finally did what Jonah called on them to do. They cast him into the sea. The great thing about these mariners and their crisis is that they learned about Jehovah God. They inquired of Jonah, "Who are you? Where are you from? Who's this God that you've offended? And what have you done to offend him? Tell us. We don't have much time." And they learned about the God of the Jews. They learned about the true God, the Jehovah God. They were probably pagans. They were probably worshiping idol gods. But they learned about the true God. And after that prophet, that rebellious running prophet was thrown overboard, that Mediterranean Sea suddenly became calm as a pond. And those mariners, I think they got saved. I think there was a revival on the boat. Man, they said, "This is the true God. This is the one we're to worship." And they worshiped Jehovah God. They made sacrifice to Jehovah God. They worshiped the God of the Jews. And chapter 2 is where we pick up the story, where the man and the fish cries out to God. The mariners, they were in a crisis. They called upon the Lord. They eventually got to calling upon the true God, and they were delivered. They were delivered from the crisis, the supernatural storm in the Mediterranean Sea. Jonah, in chapter 2, he begins to also find himself in a crisis. He's at a point of great danger and great distress and great despair. And we find in verse 1 of the second chapter that he also, in his distress, cries out to God. And we're going to conclude with this chapter realizing that God still delivers. Even a rebellious, backslidden prophet finds deliverance from the Lord. He does the same thing the mariners do. Cries out to God and finds deliverance. Then over in the third chapter, he goes to the city, he preaches to the people of Nineveh. What do? They cry out to God, they turn from their sins, and God saves them and delivers them. So we have three different groups or three different situations or three different stories of men crying out to God and finding deliverance. This is a great lesson. This is a wonderful lesson. It's a lesson that teaches us that if you, in your distress, if your soul is being swallowed up by conviction and the sorrows of sin, then if you'll cry out to God, you too can find deliverance. If you'll turn and repent. You know, Jesus made reference to Jonah on several occasions. We find him making reference to Jonah in Luke chapter 11. He talked about an evil and adulterous generation seeking a sign. And he said, there shall no sign be given but that of the prophet Jonah. We know that Jesus also in the 12th chapter of Matthew talked about the people of Nineveh rising up and in judgment and condemning that generation, because he said the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and he said, greater than Jonah is here. Several times, Jesus Christ made reference to Jonah and himself. Now, in Luke chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, 31, 32, he makes reference to Jonah's experience in chapter 2. He makes reference to, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Christ also would be in the heart of the earth. And he was alluding to and making reference to his death. Him dying for you. Amen. Him going to the cross for you. Him suffering for you. Him being buried for you. And he said, in the same way that Jonah was experiencing that Sheol, that even Jonah makes reference to feeling that he was in hell or Sheol, in that dark dungeon of that fish. Now, I can't imagine what kind of experience that would have been. The only way we can really understand it is by reading the experience of the prophet Jonah. He experienced this, and he begins to tell what went on in that place. Let me say that I think it's important for us to, as we go through here, to kind of follow the same criteria, to follow the same outline, to do the same thing that Jonah did when we find ourselves in distress. When we find ourselves in deplorable circumstances, when we find ourselves in these desperate times, we need to do as Jonah did. Jonah, once he got into the fish, realizing that he was alive, but going through that experience, began to look to the Lord, pray to the Lord, cry out to the Lord, and he found that the Lord delivers. And people, listen to me. The Lord still delivers today. He still delivers today. And if you're running from God, listen to me. If you're running from God, running from turning from your sins and looking to Christ for forgiveness and for help, if you keep doing that, you'll end up in the same kind of situation that Jonah did. I'm telling you, when God comes on the scene and he begins to rock your world, you're going to get wet. You're going to get wet. And Jonah was thrown overboard. Let's begin reading in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, before I proceed, We find out what Jonah did in this situation. I really don't see the miracle being Jonah being in a fish. That's not a big deal to me. I mean, really, that's not supernatural so much as the people of Nineveh repenting. I mean, that was a great city. We'll learn a little further into the book that there was like 120,000 kids that didn't know their left hand from their right hand. They estimate that the city was about 60 miles wide. They've done some excavation. They found some artifacts. They know where Nineveh used to be, and it was an extremely large city. Some say it had occupants up to 600,000 people. And these were rebellious, cruel, mean, vicious, immoral people. And I've always wondered, you know, the miracle, the supernatural is not so much Jonah being in a fish, but that 600,000 people repented at the preaching of Jonah. Folks, that was supernatural. Now, there may have been circumstances surrounding, providential circumstances surrounding the preparation of the hearts of the citizens of Nineveh to prepare them for the great message that Jonah was about to preach. They have found, I'm going to read you a couple of things. They say that they found these tablets. They're called the Chaldean tablets. And there's been all these men like Donald Wiseman, an astrologist, and he's a curator for the British Museum. He's editor of the Chronicles of the Chaldean Kings. He's read these tablets that they discovered through archaeology. And there are several events that are mentioned during this particular time in 763 BC. In those tablets, it says that there were a lot of things that led up to, before Jonah came into the city, there were a lot of events that transpired. They say there was a great famine, that there was great rioting, that there was a great political upheaval. They also say that in 763 BC, on June 15th, there was a complete solar eclipse that came across Nineveh. You can look it up if you wish. Google it if you wish. Now, these superstitious people, they would have been greatly bothered by a solar eclipse. Now, let me warn you, okay? There's a lot of people trying to capitalize upon the solar eclipse. I mean, they're trying to merchandise us, right? There's even theologians that are trying to form eschatological views based upon the solar eclipse. They say, you know, the solar eclipse is going to happen tomorrow. 40 days later, we have Yom Kippur, which is the Jewish festivity of the Great Day of Atonement. They say that there's going to be an eschatological move in the skies, and archaeologists that have discovered these other solar eclipses didn't have these great events that transpired in the stars, and they say that Leo is going to suddenly go from 9 or 10 stars to 12 stars, and as a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12. Listen, don't get caught up in that mess. No man knows the day nor the hour of the coming of the Lord. Okay? We are taught as a church and as a people to be always ready. But I do believe that God does. Oh, thank God he does. By his providence and through his power, many times prepares people's hearts for the reception of the gospel. That through the prayers of God's people, sometimes there's providential events that God uses to get our attention. I remember Brother Gary used to tell about before he got saved that he would uh,
he would have these dreams in the middle of the night. Can God use dreams? Listen, God can do anything he wants to do and use anything in your life to get your attention concerning spiritual things. And a lot of these things that happen in our lives, sometimes we want to equate them with just time and chance, when many times it is the providence and the graciousness and the goodness of God. God working in our lives. I mean, there's been things that have gone on in my life, and I'm like, man, that had to be God. That just had to be God. Only a fool would deny the fact that God was doing this in my life, orchestrating these circumstances and situations. It wasn't time and chance. It was the mighty hand of God. Amen? Most of us, I know Doug and Terry, myself, many of you, we believe that God providentially put our wives in our lives. Amen? We see the handwriting on the wall all the time, how that God is working in our lives, in the lives of our country, in the lives and in the lives of people of the world. We know that God is on center stage, so to speak. We know that all of human history is unfolding in relationship to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think the media tries to convince us that our world is out of control. Let me tell you something. God controls this world. He's still on the throne. Amen. We trust Him. We trust in Jesus Christ. This is not a natural storm. This was a supernatural storm. We believe that there are circumstances in our lives, they're just not naturally unfolding, but it is the providence and supernatural working of God in our lives. Don't y'all believe that? Do I need to preach another message on the providence of God? Listen, God is here. As Brother Doug said, He hasn't spun the world and stepped back. He's here. God is working in your life. He's trying to get your attention to turn your face toward Him and seek Him. Not turn your face away from Him, but turn your face toward Him and seek after His Son, Jesus Christ, for the redemption of your sins. So I'm telling you that the whole world is going to be judged in relationship to the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, God has rocked my world a time or two. And I've gotten wet. Oh, come on. Yeah, I've not been through Whale University, but I've been through Trouble University. You can't... Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to hide? God is everywhere, isn't He? He is everywhere. All right. Well, I want to read this. I want to go through this hurriedly. And I want us to notice what Jonah does. He's hurled into the sea, thought he was dead. But God prepared a good fish. Now, those of you that I was kidding before service that the big fish are biting during an eclipse, it might be true. I might have scriptural evidence right here. Okay? So we might all go to the lake tomorrow and catch some big ones. Anyway, let's begin reading. God had prepared a great fish just for him. Do you believe there are things that have been prepared in your life that God had prepared just for you? Huh? Y'all know about that? I mean, when you open your spiritual eyes and you look around you, what God has done in your life, the things He's prepared for you, it's pretty amazing. He found himself in the belly of a fish. But what did he do? All right, listen. He found himself in distress, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. You see that in verse 1? In his distress, he cried unto the Lord. He prayed. And he said, the Lord heard him. Listen, if you'll pray, the Lord will hear you today. hears us when we pray. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh and seeketh, they findeth. Everyone that knocks, the door is open for them. Listen, there has to be a time in your life where you let go of your foolish pride and you humble yourself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because I'm telling you, there will one day be a great cosmic upheaval. The Lord Jesus is going to come in power and great glory. And when He comes, the sun will be black as sackcloth of hair. The moon will be turned to blood and the stars will fall from heaven. Amen? And there will be a great trumpet that the angels will sound, and He'll send His holy angels to the four corners of the world. He's going to gather His chosen, His people, His elect from the four corners of the world. Amen? I do believe in a cosmic upheaval. But the sign is, He said, this is the sign. The sign is going, you're going to see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory. And every eye shall see Him. Amen. Yeah. He found Himself just like they found themselves in distress, and they called upon the Lord, just like the mariners, and just like the metropolitan city that was converted. They found themselves in great distress, but they called upon the Lord. And He says, out of the belly of hell, or of course, that's not burning hell, but the grave, that's the word that references the grave, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You guys believe the Lord will hear and answer your prayer today for salvation and deliverance? He cried, God heard him. For thou hast cast me, who cast him into the deep? Look at verse 2. Who cast him into the deep? Was it the mariners or was it God? Was it the sailors or was it God? He didn't see his circumstance controlled by the situation, but by a higher power, by Jehovah God Himself. You've cast me into the sea, He said. Yet I will look. Everybody say, I will look. Okay, so he's crying and he's looking toward God. You know, Jesus said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you know what they did? They looked to that brass serpent and they lived. And if today you'll cry unto God and you'll look to Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Salvation comes from Him. All right, I got to finish this. So notice the praying. Notice the crying. Notice the looking. He was in great distress. He was in great despair. He was cast into the sea. He found himself in a fish that God had prepared. Whether it was a whale or a shark, we don't know. He was in some deplorable circumstances. He said, I am cast out of thy sight. See, the thing that really bothered him was not his physical condition, but his spiritual one. Man, he was about to meet his Maker and wasn't right with God. Okay? My soul is not where it needs to be. I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet I'm going to look again toward thy holy temple. That's the place where God is. You're going to have to look to where God is. The waters come past me about, even to the soul. Even to the soul. This circumstance is reaching the depths of my soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. He's describing his deplorable condition. He says, I went to the bottoms of the mountain and the earth where the bars was about me forever. Yea, hast thou brought up my life. He said, I was in a dungeon, I was incarcerated, I was in prison, the bars were about me, I was at the lowest place of the earth, below the highest mountain. He said, yet you brought up my life. Listen, there was a change, a spiritual change, and there needs to be a spiritual change in your life. You need to be brought up out of the horrible pit of sin. You need to be brought out of the chains and the prison of the devil. You need to be set free. And if the Son sets you free indeed. Amen. He said, you brought up my life. You know, Jonah experienced something spiritual before he experienced something physical. He said, you brought up my life from corruption. Oh, Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me. See how spiritual this thing is? I remembered the Lord. All right, so here we have him. And he is crying out to God. He is looking to the Lord. He has been raised up. His soul's been raised up. God is hearing his prayer. And he says, my soul fainted within me, and I remembered. Here he's remembering the Lord. And he says, my prayer came into thee in thine holy temple. You know that your prayer got through. You ever experienced that? Now here he is in the depths of the Mediterranean Sea, but he knows his prayers just reached heaven. I can't help but think of Brother Adams. I think it was old deacon at Friendship in Indianapolis that was in World War II and in a submarine and got saved. I mean, in the depths of the sea, he knew his prayer had reached heaven. Jonah knew his prayer just got to the throne of grace. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Listen, if you trust in the things of this world, you're forsaking your own mercy. You're forsaking the mercy of God. There's only one way to get right, and that's to come the right way. You've got to come to God, go to where He is. You need to pray. You need to remember some of the circumstances of your life that has brought you to this point. Listen to me. You're not here this morning by chance. God has brought you under the sound of the gospel where you can turn from your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ and be saved today. Delivered from your condemnation. Amen? Delivered from your rebellion. Delivered from your sinfulness. Delivered from the captivity of the devil. To be set free from sin. Your soul can be set free from sin today. But you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to look. You're going to have to surrender your life. And that's what Jonah did. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. He surrendered his life. Amen. I'll sacrifice to you. And he came up praising the Lord and making vows of commitment to the Lord. There was a transition. There was a change. There was a transformation. His heart was changed. His life was changed. And listen, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in the right way, your life will also be changed. Let's get a song. He closes. Ah, what a wonderful lesson. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation comes from Yahweh. Salvation comes from Jehovah. Salvation comes from God. If you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to surrender. Amen? You're going to have to see that God is working in your life right now, bringing your soul to the place where it can surrender. I think all of us admit that God was dealing with us before we got saved. Amen? Some of us rebelled, you know, and tried to run. But there's only so far you can run. The truth of God will finally catch you. Amen? And He'll rock your world one day. And when He does, you're going to need Him. And you'll need for your prayers to enter into the very presence of the great God that He is, where He can provide you deliverance. 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 Stand to your feet. Salvation comes from the Lord. Is there somebody here this morning who can't relate to the second chapter of Jonah? I can relate to that, can't you? I can relate to it spiritually. I can relate to it naturally. I can relate to it carnally. I can relate to this, can't you? Well, you came to the end of yourself and you turned your face toward God. and you surrendered your all. The next verse says, and what did God do? Spit him up on dry ground. That fish delivered him right there. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Let's reboot. Start this over. Got you where I want you now. You head to Nineveh. Listen, if God would save Nineveh, He'll save you. The Bible says in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, if anybody or any nation, okay, hears the message that God is going to judge them, that they're under condemnation, He said, if that nation will turn to Me and repent, He said, I will repent of the evil that I've spoken against them, any nation. I believe He'll do that for any person, don't you? As we sing, is there somebody here this morning and you need Jesus? Would you come? Look to Him. Look back over your life. God has brought you to this place, to this time, to such a time as this, to where you can call upon the name of the Lord and leave here redeemed, saved from sin. As we sing, is there somebody here who needs redemption that is in Christ Jesus? Would you come? Whatever trouble you're in, your deliverance comes from the Lord. Oh, what a great story. What a great illustration. What a great example. Would you come?